Good morning, Boulder. Happy Sabbath. Let's see. Thank you so much. You guys can hear me okay? Thank you so much for making the drive out in this, what is this? Rain, snow, slush? Spring? Yes. Yeah, I love when it rains, so maybe this is my fault. And I love when it rains when I preach, so this is my bad. But one of the coolest things about the rain this morning was on the drive here, Carl and I saw a Cybertruck, a Tesla Cybertruck. And if you've ever seen one, it just has one giant windshield wiper. I just thought that was so fascinating. Anyways, the title of my sermon is Now What? We're starting a new sermon series going through the book of Acts, and today we're going to start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So if you'll join with me in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Acts 1, verse 1, it says this: In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave convincing proofs that he was alive. He had appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So Acts is a sequel to the book of Luke, and Luke is the author of both books. And not too long ago, Pastor Jeff just finished preaching a sermon series on the book of Luke. But what Luke is saying here in this passage is he's saying, hey, the first book, the miracles, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, yeah, that was just the beginning. Jesus was just getting started. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, he's just getting started. So, like Paula Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. So, in verse 4 and 5, if you go with me, it says, On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave this command, Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting, Jesus doesn't just give them the gift right then and there. Instead, he gives them a command. And the command is to wait. How many of you are currently waiting for something? Currently waiting on something? My nieces and nephews know what it is like to wait for promised gifts, because I hate mailing things. It's so tedious, it's so time consuming, and so the gifts that I mail to my nieces and nephews and all my loved ones, it always shows up late. But one year, actually, my family made a whole holiday out of it, where they all came together a week before Christmas, and they opened up one giant box that I had sent them, filled with every present that I had meant to send them throughout the year. I mean, there was a gift for literally every occasion in there. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, everybody's birthday gifts, souvenirs that we had picked up for them on our summer trip. There was a gift in there for my nephew when he broke his arm like 9 months earlier. I mean, you name it, that gift was in there. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not just one gift. It's a gift with many gifts within one gift. He's got something for every occasion, and the Holy Spirit would be worth the wait. If you read with me verse 6. So Jesus just got done giving them this command, and he's saying, like, what is about to happen next? This is what's about to happen next. But then they respond with this. They say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? So the thing is that these jabronis have had 3 years with Jesus before his death. They've had 40 days with him after his resurrection, and they are currently in the middle of a conversation with Jesus about the kingdom, and they still don't get it. Why? Because they're disappointed, they're confused, and they're still hoping that Jesus will redeem Israel. But what they don't realize is that Jesus has actually done something much greater than that. He has done more than just redeem Israel. He just got done redeeming the entire world. Can you relate? Have you ever been disappointed that God didn't do something you thought he should have done? I know I have. God, why didn't you intervene? God, why didn't you show up? God, why didn't you do something? But maybe he did do something. Maybe he did something much greater, much bigger, much better than what we could have come up with for ourselves. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We go to verse 7 and 8. We're going to set up camp with these verses for a little bit. It says, Jesus responds very gracefully, and he says, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The mission is twofold, is to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. But then Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses. The thing is, being a witness isn't something that we do to somebody. It's something that we are. A witness of Jesus has seen, heard, or experienced Jesus and lives to tell about it. Being a witness is not something we do for Jesus. It's simply talking about what Jesus has done for us. So he's saying, you're going to be my witnesses in starting off in Jerusalem. That's your home base. In your home base, you're going to be witnesses of me to the people right around you. That's your home. To the people right around you. Then, number two, you're going to go to all Judea and Samaria. That's your neighbors. And then that's the people on the fringes. And then you're going to go to the ends of the earth. And Jesus isn't just speaking geographically, but he's telling them that they are starting the Great Commission that will continue until time on earth has run out. I mean, this mug is going to go from Romans to Revelation. It's going to start from the beginning church, then go to Boulder Church and beyond. But it's not going to be possible unless they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting because here the word power, the Greek word here is dunamis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that. You can ask someone more wise than I. Pastor Jeff is preaching next weekend, so you can ask him. But it means, in English, it actually translates to the word dynamite. So the word power means dynamite. So Jesus is actually telling the disciples, you will receive a gift that is dynamite, and it's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a game changer, a lifesaver, a waymaker, one who is about to rock their world and the world around them. Jesus knows that the disciples are divided, distracted, easily discouraged, and downright empty at this point. So if they were to carry out the mission currently with their own power and their own strength, it wouldn't even make it to downtown. But when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be dynamite for the kingdom. So let me explain it like this. When our first child was born, Wes, Carl and I were gifted a snoo. If you don't know what a snoo is, it's a really bougie bassinet designed by some pediatrician that wanted to create a gentler transition for babies going from womb to world. It's essentially a bassinet that trains babies how to sleep in their first 6 months of life. And it's all sophisticated, and it makes sounds and movements, and there's different modes on it. It's connected to an app. You can work it on your phone. I mean, it's, let me tell you, when we got it, I called it my gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because I am convinced that if baby Jesus was born today, the wise men would be gifting Mary and Joseph a snoo. I mean, that's how good it was. People were coming up to me. I was pastoring a church in Florida at the time, and people would come up to me and say, "Pastor, how are you sleeping?" And I'm thinking, "I'm sleeping great. How are you sleeping?" I mean, this snoo was amazing. Well, then I had my second child just 4-ish months ago, and wow, we have been up every night, most of the night, becoming sleep deprived, looking like Miss Frizzle. And I am like, what is going on? The snoo does not work with this baby. And I'm telling you guys, I have been so tired that just a couple weeks ago, I preached at Union College for Alumni Weekend. And no lie, there was a point in my sermon where I paused for so long that afterwards I thought, did I just fall asleep while preaching? And afterwards, someone came up to me. They said, "Pastor, that was so powerful. And I especially loved how you paused for dramatic effect." And I thought, wow, praise God, that's what you thought was happening. Because I'm pretty sure I was sleeping during my own sermon. But here's the contrast, right? It went from one child to the next. The snoo was really working for me, and wow, it was a breeze getting sleep. It was like a superpower, a dynamite gift. With the second one, I'm working out of my own power. But here's the kicker, you guys. You're gonna cry when I tell you this, because I definitely did. A couple weeks ago, my husband took a look at the snoo. And he said, "Molly, the snoo has been on wean mode this whole time." Wean mode, that's the mode you put it on at the very last week when you're trying to get the baby, when the baby's all done and sleep trained, and then they go into a regular crib. I thought, I have been tirelessly working out of my own strength night after night when I could have easily tapped into the superpower of the snoo. I had it right at my fingertips. Peace and power were within reach. And we legit have to ask ourselves, are we on wean mode, working from our own power, our own strength? Or are we actually tapping into the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given to us? If we go over to verse 9, this is so right after Jesus tells them, "Hey, you're going to receive this dynamite power." It says this, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Jesus from their sight. And I'm going to pause here, but don't worry, I'm not falling asleep. The disciples are standing there, silent, looking up, feeling lost, thinking, we went through this whole journey with Jesus, and now he is gone. Now what? Now what? This feels very similar. This situation feels very similar to past moments in Scripture when God's people came up against the Red Sea, came up against a rushing river of the Jordan, came up against the wall of Jericho. When it seems like there is no way forward, and it seems like there is no path for them, and it's leading them to ask the question, now what? Can you relate? Maybe you're in a situation where you're asking God, now what? But let me share a word with you that was shared with the disciples when they were in their now what. If we go to verse 10 and 11, it says this. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus. I always thought that the angel's response was very highly insensitive. Every time I've read this, I'm like, hey guys, they just lost their best friend. Can you give them a second? But this time around, I'm reading it, and it's not insensitive. It's actually encouragement. This same Jesus. This same Jesus who you know and love is going to be the same Jesus with you moving forward. That's the essence of what they're saying to the disciples. And that's why the angels are kind of questioning, like, why are you looking worried? Why are you looking lonely? Why are you looking afraid? The same Jesus that you know and love is going to be with you moving forward. The same Jesus, and you could fill in the blank. This same Jesus blank will be the same Jesus that blank. The same Jesus who befriended you the last 3 years will be your best friend forevermore. He's going to be your ride or die through eternity. The same Jesus who carried you through the storm and the sea will stay with you through the storms moving forward. The same Jesus who multiplied loaves and fishes will multiply the provisions in your life moving forward. The same Jesus who died and resurrected from the grave will be the one living in you and through you from here on out. So for the angels talking to the disciples, they're like, I don't know why you're so worried. Different day, same Jesus. Different day, same Jesus. Different struggle, same Jesus. Different storm, same Jesus. Different roadblock, same Jesus. Whenever you are finding yourself in a now what situation, give yourself a minute to fill in the blanks for yourself. And I'll give you a minute right now. Just think about it. This same Jesus who blank is the same Jesus who will blank. And I don't know how you're filling in these blanks. Maybe you're saying the same Jesus who got me through that storm is going to be the same Jesus who gets me through this storm. The same Jesus who kept his word before in my life is going to be the same Jesus who keeps his word today. The same Jesus who died for me, loves me, and lives in me today. This is a word for the disciples, and it is definitely a word for us today. The little Spark Notes version of the book of Acts and where we are headed in this series. After praying together, the believers receive a gust of wind along with the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit becomes their superpower while spreading the good news of a risen Savior. And the Holy Spirit is their comfort and their compass while they are facing a series of significant struggles as a church. And this is why I think reading the book of Acts is so encouraging, because just like the early church, we also have been called to know Jesus and make Jesus known by sharing and living the good gospel. Just like the early church, we also have been facing a series of significant challenges as a church. But most of all, just like the early church, we also have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who was poured out on the disciples back then is the same Spirit given to us as disciples and believers today. The same Holy Spirit who acted as a compass for the church back then is the same Holy Spirit who comforts, convicts, and counsels us today. The same Holy Spirit who made a way for the early church is the same Holy Spirit who will find a way forward for us too. I'm going to call up the band right now. I'll give you some time to get up here while I tell this little story. Last week, it was so cool. Last week, Pastor Jeff and I were chatting about the sermon series, and we're here over in my office, and we're chatting, and all of a sudden, Dom comes up from downstairs. He works in one of the offices downstairs, and he came up and popped his head in the office. And he said, I just had to come up and see what's going on up here. Because it just, I don't know, it just feels full. And Pastor Jeff and I started laughing because we looked around in my office. And I'm like, yeah, this place is like a storage closet. And I'm like, look at this place. It looks like a garage sale in here. But he says, no. It feels full. Like, this place just feels like, I don't know, new life and new energy. It feels full. And I'm thinking, as he's saying this, I'm thinking, whoa, this brother just spoke a word over Boulder Church and he doesn't even know it. And that's when we decided on the sermon series title, Fresh Wind, because the Holy Spirit isn't just for the believers and the disciples and the early church back then. It is for us as believers and as a church today. And wouldn't it be cool if even with everything that has been going on with Boulder Church, of members, visitors, even those watching online, they came to this place of worship and they said, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Boulder Church just feels full. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of peace, full of joy, full of patience, full of kindness, full of goodness, full of gentleness, full of love. And not just any kind of love, just like a Jesus kind of love. So when we ask ourselves, now what? Let's have the same Holy Spirit who filled the disciples back then fill us again. Jesus, give us a fresh wind, a holy anointing. Pour your spirit out.